What we're going to do today, we're going to start with our breathing exercise. So can you please bring up the diagram of the heart, the circulation that we had, if you recall. And you'll notice on the first one is the one of the heart, right? We saw that, and in the heart, you see the right atrium, the right ventricle, the left atrium, the left ventricle, then they have the aorta, pulmonary arteries, pulmonary veins, mitral valve, aortic valve. I'm going around clockwise. Inferior vena cava, tricuspid valve, pulmonary valve, and superior vena cava. So just as a quick introduction to what you're looking at here, we did this before, but a review. The heart has four chambers, as you all know, and the heart brings the superior and inferior vena cava, we'll start there, on the left side of the picture as you're looking at it, brings in the blood that has no oxygen, has CO2, into the heart, and it dumps it into the right atrium. So the blood comes into the right atrium, which is the top of the right. Hold there for a second. Let me go back and explain why I'm explaining this all to you. In traditional times, when the Buddhists or the Taoists or the Hindus or shamans, the Native Americans, or Kabbalists or any kind of mystic, the Sufis, had their practitioners visualize things, the reason they visualize things is because when we hold an image in our mind of something, it creates a change in our body and in our mind and in our energy. So if we're talking about our physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, our spiritual body, then what happens is when we visualize all those different levels, whatever they are, I'm not trying to define them or say they exist or don't, I'm just using them now so we can speak about this, something changes. And different traditions have come up with different visualizations based on the changes they want to affect. So if they want someone to have a very expansive point of view, they visualize a huge picture. If they want someone to have a very microscopic point of view, they visualize a very fine detail. But what has been demonstrated to all these practitioners was when you use visualization, it's a very helpful tool to change energy. And changing energy changes matter, because energy and matter are the same thing, just in different forms. In the last 50 years, since the 70s, actually a little bit earlier, since the 60s, when a lot of this started to undergo scientific investigation, very much influenced by the arising of the psychedelic period with LSD and psilocybin and mescaline, which were first in laboratories for therapy. And if any of you are interested, by the way, there is now clear clinical evidence that microdosing in psilocybin, which is in the magic mushroom, has shown amazing effects in any kind of neurological disease and psychosis. And it's being used in many clinics all around the world now. But with the arising of that psychedelic experience, people started investigating all these unique experiences. One of the results, just one of the results of these investigations, demonstrated that when we visualize something in our body, in our minds, when we use our minds to visualize something in our body, something changes in that area that we're visualizing, in addition to the mind that's doing the visualization. Not only does it change on the physical level, which is the level of the neurotransmitters, the enzymes, the chemicals, the molecules, but it also changes in the brainwave level, the firing off of neurons, which is the electrical level. And spiritual people would say it changes on the spiritual level as well, but we're not even going to deal with that at the moment. So the reason I am doing this and giving you this visualization is because for me, I have found in my practice that when I integrate what we now know to be the structure of the body with the tools of visualization, we can affect the amazing changes that occur through this process in our health, in our body, in our mind, and also in our just overall consciousness, our awareness and well-being. Thus, I explain to you the heart. Okay? So, one footnote here is the more precise you can do the visualization, the more effective it will be. And of course, the secret to all these ancient mysteries and superpowers is practice. The more you practice, the better you will be and the more effective it will be. There's no other secret than that. Looking back at the heart now. So this is your heart, approximately. The blood that has no oxygen, that has carbon dioxide, comes in from all the rest of the body in the superior vena cava, coming from the top of the body, and the inferior vena cava coming from the lower part of the body. It gets dumped into the right atrium. The right atrium, and then it goes into the right ventricle, which is below the atrium. And if you confuse about it, just think in terms of the ventricles as you see them, they both look like V's if you consider their vowels. So you know ventricle is on the bottom. The right ventricle sends the blood into the pulmonary artery. That's the light purple one that then branches out to either side. The blood goes into the lungs, all the way down, gets the alveoli. And the alveoli are the tiny little sacs where the carbon dioxide, the CO2, is passed out of the blood, and the oxygen and the nitrogen and the other elements come into the blood. But primarily, let's deal with oxygen here. Once the lungs have brought in the oxygen, then the blood is returned to the heart in the orange called the pulmonary vein, into the left atrium. Now, this blood that comes into the left atrium is full of oxygen, full of nourishment, full of energy. That is then pumped into the left ventricle, which then pumps it into the aorta. That's the orange. Now, what happens in the aorta? Then the blood goes up those three arteries. Now, once we're in the aorta, the vessels are called arteries. Once they're out and they don't have oxygen, they're called veins. The exception to that is the pulmonary vein, which brings the blood back with oxygen from the lungs. So in these three openings in the aorta, it goes up to the common carotid arteries on the either side of our neck, into our brain, and into the brachial artery that takes the blood down to our hands, on either side. Then as the aorta goes down, it goes down through the central part of the body, and it splits off into blood to the liver, artery to the spleen, to the pancreas, to the small intestine, to the kidneys, and then goes down until just above the groin where it splits into the femoral arteries. Now, if you scroll down to the next image, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, so you see here, actually, let's start again. The blood is then in the heart, in the left ventricle, which is the bottom on the left, which is your right as you're looking at the picture. It pumps it into the aorta, the red big pipe coming out of the heart. And then you see on the right side, it pumps into the right hand and up to the right side of the brain. Then the next opening pumps into the left side of the brain and head. And then the next opening pumps into the left hand. The remainder goes into the aorta that goes down behind the heart, comes down through the center of the body. And you see on the right side there, the short one goes, they're representing the portal vein and hepatic artery. The ones below that are the veins or arteries to the kidneys. And then there are many other arteries that go to the digestion, to the intestines, to the uterus, to the prostate, to the intestine, all the other parts of the body that are in that area. The stomach, there's also something. Then the aorta splits. We're only talking about the red one now. And then it goes down into the right femoral artery, which is on the right side, the left femoral artery on the left side. And then it gets down as far as the thigh, and then it splits again. It continues down, a major artery goes all the way down to the foot, while another sub-branch goes into the back of the thigh, to the back of the knee. Okay, so everybody's clear on that, right? Now, the red represents blood which has oxygen, okay? It has nourishment. It has all the things we need. The blood is given to the tissues. At the same time, the tissues, the cells, use the blood and they expel it after it's been used with waste material back into the circulatory system. That's when they go from the arterioles or capillaries into the venal system, say. And that's the blue. The blue always represents blood without oxygen. The red represents blood with oxygen. And the reason is that oxygen is bound with hema, which is iron, and it is literally red. It is what makes your blood red. The iron from hemoglobin in your blood that makes your blood red. So as it goes back, it then goes back up through the blue, you can see in the right leg, the left leg, up through into the inferior vena cava, which is the part just below the heart that's straight next to the aorta. And then the blood, the old blood without oxygen from the brain, from the arms, comes back into this superior vena cava that goes back into the heart. So if you scroll up and you look again, you'll see superior inferior vena cava. It's kind of like a violet color. That's where the blood comes back into the heart. Okay.
The red blood.
The blue blood.
The blue blood, okay.
The blue blood comes back into the heart on the right side, the right atrium, the right ventricle, which is you're looking on your left as you're looking on your screen. It's then pumped to the lungs where it gets oxygen. You exhale the carbon dioxide. You inhale the oxygen. As soon as you inhale, that blood comes back into the heart on the left side, which is the left atrium, go through the orange pipes called the pulmonary vein, and then get down to the left ventricle. It's pumped into the aorta in the red system. So the red system with oxygen, with nourishment, the blue system without oxygen, bringing back blood for cleansing, okay? During this process, the liver filters waste material out of the blood. The kidneys filter waste material and fluid, which is why you have urine. The blood goes through the kidneys filter out waste material and water, and the blood continues to move, and then you pee out all that stuff that you don't use. The liver filters all the toxins that's in your food, because as you digest, food is broken down. It's then passed into your small intestine, where on the way there, the enzymes from the pancreas, the gallbladder, all go into it, and they digest and break down the food. Then that food comes in through the small intestine and is absorbed into the bloodstream. Okay. And that is then sent to the liver in what's called the portal vein. And then the liver cleanses that blood and sends it back into the venous system. Okay. And that's where we get nourishment. That's how we get nourishment. You don't have to memorize all of this. All I want you to be clear about is the blood system. The red is the oxygenated blood. The blue is the unoxygenated blood. Okay. And clear about the pumping of the heart. Now, last time what we did is we focused on the heart. So we're going to start today with our meditation is going to visualize blood coming into the heart in the right atrium. That's up here on the right side, going down to the right ventricle, then pumping out to our lungs. That's another reason I wanted to sit here so you can see me more clearly doing this. Comes out to our lungs. Oxygen is absorbed, goes back into our heart, into the left atrium, and then goes down to left ventricle, and then is pumped into the aorta, going up and going down. Right now, all I want for the first visualization we're gonna do is just a 5-minute review of the heart, okay? Great, any questions before we start?
So, I'm sorry, so when you breathe in through the superior vena cava, is that the oxygen with blood?
No, this has nothing to do with oxygen. This is blood circulation. Oxygen is in the lungs. This is the flow of the blood. The blood comes into the heart without oxygen, goes into the lungs without oxygen, comes back from the lungs with oxygen, and goes into the body with oxygen.
So the blood picks up the oxygen in the lungs?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And for example, one of the big problems, let's make this relevant to today, with COVID, is that COVID, the main issue of COVID is it creates blood clots in the blood. That's my perspective as a physician. But the problem is where it creates blood clots is very important. And for the majority of people, it creates blood clots in the lungs, in those tiny little sacs called alveoli where the oxygen gets transferred. And so quickly the lung function goes down and people can't bring more oxygen into their body. If you don't have oxygen in your body, when your blood moves throughout your body, your organs, your cells are starved of oxygen and they start to fail. And then when the immune system attacks COVID, it creates what they call, you've read about a cytokine storm. You've heard about that. But what happens is the neutrophils, which is a type of white blood cell, is like a spider's web. It's a gooey little mess. And those gooey little messes that catch the COVID virus start to also block circulation. So it's a double sword, and it's very difficult to solve. Now, for some smaller percentage of people, like 30%, I think I read, the blood clots form in the kidneys. Then you have kidney failure, or the blood clots form in the liver. You have liver issues, or the blood clots form in the brain. You have strokes. So the blood clots can form anywhere in the body, but the tendency to form is where the entry site of the virus is easiest, and those are the ACE2 enzyme receptors. And most of the tissues in the lungs, in the respiratory system, starting with the sinuses and going down into the upper respiratory and lower respiratory, are filled with ACE2 receptors. So the majority of the virus goes in through that doorway, and that's where the clots start to form. But it also can form in other areas. Some people, this is why you'll have people that have the virus, no symptoms whatever, and there are quite a few of them. They then suddenly show symptom, and then 3 days later, you hear they just passed away. I'm sure you read a lot, because that's the one that make all the news, the sensationalist ones. And what's happened is the virus has gone in, it didn't clot the lungs, it went into the blood, and then suddenly the whole thing collapsed. Okay? So part of the reason I'm sharing this circulatory visualization is because the better you can do this, this can be life-saving and also very, very important in helping you survive any kind of congestion. Now, I'm not saying that, and this is a disclaimer, this is not a cure for COVID. This is not a cure for anything, but this is an exercise that will help your circulation, and anything that hurts your circulation can be improved by practicing this exercise. Okay? That's the relevance of it. So, okay. Any questions? Other questions?